Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to this special weekend podcast we do for you every other weekend. We like to highlight some of the really great interviews we do on the radio show. It's not due to me, but great guests, and you deserve to hear from them. If you'd like to listen to the radio show live, go to Bongino.com any weekday. Click on Station Finder to find out where there's a station near you. We've got a great lineup for you this weekend as well. Let me get to our first sponsor. Folks, everybody's talking about those weight loss injections because the results are really dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing your appetite. It's really simple. But what if you don't have a lot of money for these shots? They can be expensive and you don't like injections. That's why Brickhouse Nutrition's doctors created a supplement called Lean, L-E-A-N. The results are incredible. I can personally vouch. I lost about 28 pounds on it over the course of a couple months. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help lower your blood sugar and help burn fat by converting it into energy and helping curb your appetite and cravings. Lean's not for the diet or only has a few pounds to lose. The docs at Brickhouse, they created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Again, I can personally vouch for it. People ask how I lost weight. That's how. You can get started with 15% off today and free rush shipping. Add Lean to your wellness and exercise plan. Visit takelean.com and enter code Dan15 for your discount. That's promo code Dan15 at takelean.com. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. They're not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. First up today, we talk with Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky on this really despicable report on the actions of the Secret Service at the Butler County assassination site. Remember, a man was murdered there in front of his family. Listen to what they found out, and Rand Paul has some thoughts. Welcoming to the show, United States Senator, looking into this Secret Service security debacle. I saw him on Fox this morning, had some interesting points. And they released an initial findings report I've been covering throughout the show. We're going to get his take on it now. Welcoming Senator Rand Paul. Senator, thanks for your time.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Senator, you have been a longtime critic of the deep state, government spending, unnecessary bureaucracy, and all this other stuff. And I see this initial findings report, legions of failures involved with the attempt on President Trump's life. And I found it odd that they came to Congress and the Secret Service is going to get now, it appears to be $231 million more dollars. And Senator, I heard you mention on Fox this morning, and I think you're one of the only ones talking about it. Why? Why are we giving the money for what? We're promoting them for failing? I don't understand.
The bipartisan report showed human failings, multiple tragic human failings. And I don't think you replace human failings or reward human failings with money. You reward human failings with replacing the humans. I mean, if people made errors, these were egregious errors. Some of them are so irresponsible, you shouldn't be in the business any longer. You know, whoever's in charge at Butler, when the shooting rang out, there's at least a half a dozen to a dozen errors that are egregious and unforgivable. Well, the person should be fired. But as we interviewed people, nobody was in charge. That was part of the problem. Nobody claims they were in charge at Butler County. They'll say, well, I was in charge of this, and I was in charge of that, and the local people were in charge of this. And it's like, well, who's in charge of the whole thing? Oh, nobody. Because you ask them that, and you say, well, there's this roof. And when you see the image of the roof from one of the victims was filming this from behind Donald Trump, he's filming it, and you can actually see the shooter on the roof. And the roof, some of it's a trick of the perception. It looks like it's 30 yards away. In reality, it's over 100 yards away. But as you know, with a high-powered weapon with a scope on it, it's nothing. And so it's 100 yards away. But they all had to see it. Are they all complete morons as they walked by it? Why didn't someone say, hey, how come no one's on the roof? Who did that walkthrough? Who was in charge of doing that final walkthrough? But it gets even worse than that. A guy seen for 90 minutes with a large backpack, big enough apparently to fold your AR-15 and stick it in the backpack. He's seen with a rangefinder. A half a dozen local cops think he's suspicious. People, policemen have a good, even natural, just regular citizens have a decent nose for people who are suspicious. They say he's suspicious. They take pictures of him. But no one has a wherewithal after 90 minutes of seeing him multiple times to say, maybe someone should take President Trump off the stage until we interview this guy. No one does it. After an hour of seeing him, they report him to the Secret Service. So local police sees him for an hour. Then after that, for the last 30 minutes before the shooting happens, they've reported it to Secret Service, to the headquarters at the security tent. So they know it for 30 minutes. Nobody pulls the president. But then even in the last couple of minutes, the president is shot at 6:11. At 6:06, the crowd is shouting and pointing at the roof, man on a roof, man on a roof. At 6:08, the police are chanting, man on a roof, man on a roof, and they're running towards the roof with guns drawn. The counter sniper up on the roof sees the police, sees the commotion, sees them running in that direction, trains his weapon on that area, but nobody calls for the president to be removed from the stage. At 6:08, you still have 2.5 minutes left. And still nobody, someone's crawling up on the roof, but nobody is saying. The Secret Service's OR, we didn't, our walkie-talkies didn't talk to their walkie-talkies, we're on the same channel. But even that's not completely true. The message was relayed between 6:08 and 6:10. The message makes the headquarters tent, where the people in charge of the Secret Service are gathered under this tent, it makes it there, and they start frantically making phone calls, but nobody calls for removing Trump from the stage. So at every step, there's so many errors being made, but they're inexcusable. And the first question I had from the very beginning is, whoever's in charge can't do this anymore. I don't dislike them. I don't hate them. I don't think they're even bad people necessarily, but they made so many errors, so many professional misjudgments that they can't be in this position ever again. That's what I told the acting director. I said, are they in charge of, are they going to be working for the security for the Democrat National Convention? Would you let somebody like this immediately have that responsibility? No, they would have to. I mean, they have to go somewhere. They can't do this anymore. And yet we haven't heard that from the Secret Service yet, whether anybody's really going to be disciplined.
We're talking to Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky. Senator, both you and your father have a legacy of fighting against big government bureaucracy and incompetence. I mean, this is really the staple of everything you ran for office on. This story is emblematic of that. What I find stunning is you are correct. The multitude of obvious security failures, no counter surveillance team, inadequate counter sniper coverage, an open roof line, communications failures, communications that didn't fail and still nothing was done, leaving Trump on the X instead of pulling him off stage. This is the kind of thing that only government can get away with. If this was a private sector, Senator, you would have shareholders, stakeholders, investors, employees in open revolt demanding the CEO and the board resign. I mean, the Secret Service's job is to keep the protectees alive. And a man was murdered in front of his family and Trump was shot in the head. And yet, I don't know if you saw the recent promotion list. You should ask for it at your office. Everyone in the protective operations chain and headquarters, they all got promoted after this. This only happens in government.
Realize for 6 weeks now, since this happened in Butler County, we've been asking for what security requests were denied in the lead up to Butler. We know for a fact that both the Secret Service assigned to Donald Trump and Donald Trump's campaign organization had requested counter snipers. So they've been denied again and again and again. We get to Butler County, and believe it or not, that's the first time county snipers are at an outdoor rally. And thank God they were, because they did respond pretty quickly. They did take down the shooter, unfortunately too late. But at the same time, had the counter snipers not been there, the shooter would have kept shooting. I mean, there's a good chance he shoots Trump as he stands up, or he shoots the Secret Service covering Trump, or he shoots more spectators. But he stopped shooting because they killed him. But realized that that was the first Trump rally that were any counter snipers made available to him at all. So, and this gets worse. We've had two, I think, individuals who were working by themselves and not with a government. Well, we also have these reports, public, private, and classified, saying that Iran wants to kill Donald Trump as well. Now we're talking about a state actor with more sophisticated weaponry, et cetera. And Trump has to have what's available, what we have technologically to defend him. And it needs to be everything that Biden's getting and everything that Harris is getting. They say he's getting the same Secret Service coverage now. I'm not convinced he's getting the same coverage that the Defense Department can provide to him. And we're insisting that he get everything possible, because this is a real threat.
Yeah. Talking to Senator Rand Paul. Senator, two concerns I'd like to relay to you and obviously the listeners across the country, but you can actually do something about it. You're a legislator, and I've put this out to other congressmen and senators too. Whistleblowers, many of them, former colleagues, friends of mine who are deeply concerned about Donald Trump's life and their own. I mean, remember, they're out there too. when the guy was shooting, the people on the stage heard the bullets whizzing by their heads, too. They're very concerned about the air security picture. I don't want to get into details, obviously, on the air, but they're so concerned about it that sooner or later, one of them is going to go to a 60 Minutes or some left-wing hack site, but just to get it out there and blow the whistle on this. We are not prepared. We are not prepared at all. So when you say things on the air like, hey, he's not getting the presidential security package, you're correct, because the president's not getting the presidential security package either. And this is not a partisan thing. I don't want to see anything happen to Kamala Harris or Joe Biden either. We are not prepared. The Secret Service is not ready for the threats. And throwing more money at people who don't understand technology is not going to fix a darn thing.
Yeah, we live in a world of very personalized warfare, and we saw that recently with the exploding pagers. We're going to see that more and more with drones. We now have drones that can, $300 drone can take out a $3 million tank. So we live in another world, and as you know, it's hard to put the genie back in the box, but as those technologies develop, you have to have technological countermeasures that can stop them. Those do exist, and you're right, some of that you can't talk about. All I'm saying is that every bit of it needs to be deployed. You're right, Biden, Harris, and Trump, and as many other people that can be protected. But this is going to have to become the norm rather than the exception. I mean, it was even, I think it's probably 10 years ago now, they tried to kill Maduro giving a speech with several drones with 10 kilograms worth of explosives. So the day is coming when, you know, it's not going to be people just dying on the battlefield. Civilians are going to be killed in their place of work. And, it's not a great thing to look forward to, but it is going to happen. And we're going to have to figure out a way to try to stop as much of it as we can.
Talking to Senator Rand Paul. Senator, last question, and I'll let you go. The second page of the report your team released this morning is pretty devastating. It indicates that the entire management chain in the Protective Operations Office of the Secret Service in headquarters basically knew about a credible long-range threat. That I know from a whistleblower, that's the Iranian threat. They could not penetrate the middle perimeter. They figured out a sniper was the best way to do it. They've known about this for years. That the entire management chain of the Secret Service and headquarters knew about this in PO, Protective Operations, and did nothing. The report clearly indicates counter-sniper assets were not allocated. That was the first site. CSU assets, none of them that would have detected these guys. Again, is this not a reason to go back to Acting Director Rowe, his new deputy, and all the people who just got their shiny new promotions and say, guys, are we serious? Like, you just promoted these people for failure? Like, that only works in government. Not only that, we're asking for more money. More money for what? Maybe you should dump the investigations and NSSE mission and focus on protection and save yourself half your budget.
Well, I can tell you we're not done yet. And the one thing that everybody is universally upset with Secret Service still is not divulging the request for security. Who made the request from the Trump detail? What were the requests for and who denied them? And this is also in the context of something they haven't talked much about. The two attempts on his life were from relatively unsophisticated individual actors, not with a government behind them. But if you knew a government was trying to kill Trump, wouldn't you have already had increased awareness that would probably help stop these individual actors? So, for example, if you know a government is serious about killing Donald Trump, wouldn't you have somebody walk around the perimeter of his golf course when he plays golf? I mean, how bad is that? And we discover that not only was the guy sitting there all day, like 12 hours by the fence with all kinds of stuff, he's got his weapon there, he's got everything. He'd been there on and off for 30 days. I mean, really, we're not talking about, oh, you need $200 million to hire people. The local police could be commissioned to walk the perimeter. Somebody doing, the other work at, the work with currency and all the other crimes that the Secret Service is involved with, reassign some of them to walking the perimeter of the golf course, for goodness sakes. I mean, there's thousands of employees at Secret Service that could be utilized. They don't all have to be snipers. Of course, the snipers are incredibly important, the counter snipers, I mean. But they haven't had a heightened presence of security, even with the Iranian threat being very overt and out there. So, yeah, more has to be done. We're not going to let up on them. And if they don't release the information we've asked, I believe that the Democrats will join us in subpoenaing from them. So we're not going to let them get away with hiding the ball.
Yeah, shockingly, I've even seen Senator Blumenthal, who's obviously no friend to the conservative movement, saying things that make sense for once. Like, hey, this isn't a money thing. We've got a management problem. And if Republicans and Democrats, who are typically at each other's throats, as you well know, on Capitol Hill, are both saying the same thing, and the Democrat senator is saying it's not a money problem, or at least some of them, they'll say it's a money problem for anything to get more tax dollars. You know, they're probably telling the truth. But Senator Paul, thanks for your hard work on this. Welcome back to the show anytime. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Dan.
You got it. I mean, right, folks? Am I making that up? I mean, if you get a liberal Democrat like Dick Blumenthal saying, hey, it's not a money thing. When was the last time you heard a Democrat say it's not a money thing? Jim, I'm going to say sometime close to never. Then it probably is. Coming up next, another great interview I think you'll be interested in hearing, but let's hear from our next sponsor. Meet Lumen, one of the world's first handheld metabolic coaches. You know I'm into life hacks, say it all the time. This device measures your metabolism through your breath. The app then lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and provides tailored guidance to enhance your nutrition, workout, sleep, and stress management. Here's what you do. I did it just the other day again. Simply breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning. It'll analyze your metabolism, indicating whether you're burning fat or carbs. Based on these insights, Lumen provides a personalized nutrition plan for the day. It's genius. You can also use Lumen before and after workouts and meals to get real-time updates on your body's metabolic state. What are you burning? Stay on top of the wellness game. I've been using Lumen. Total game changer. Helps me understand my metabolism and make smarter choices. Optimal metabolic health can lead to easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness levels, and better sleep. So if you want to take the next step in helping to improve your wellness, go to lumen.me/Bongino to get 15% off your order. That's lumen.me, lumen.me/Bongino for 15% off your first purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring the episode. It's a great product. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. Not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. You guys know Robbie Starbuck? Great guy. Follow him on social media, X and Truth. He's been exposing a bunch of companies catering to conservative America, but doing really woke stuff at the same time. Listen to this eye-opening audio. Folks, I desperately wanted to get this next guest on. Was it last week or the week before? And some breaking news event happened, and it's live radio, and sometimes we've got to kind of lift and shift. You know how that works. So we got him back. He is, if you're not following him on X and social media, you're making a big mistake. His name is Robbie Starbuck, R-O-B-B-Y, Starbuck, S-T-A-R-B-U-C-K. Give him a follow. This guy has been getting more done to combat wokeness in corporate America than just about anyone in the country. If you're following him on X or Truth, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Welcoming to the show, I think for the maybe second time now, Robbie Starbuck. Robbie, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Dan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sorry about last week, you know, the whole breaking news thing. But I said to Jim, we got to get this guy on. You have been doing such incredible work on social media. Now, yeah, let me just give you some quick background on what Robbie's up to. And I want you to comment on how you started this. So there are these companies out there, and you can get into who they are, Robbie. Their base of customers are basically American conservatives, MAGA folks, libertarians, and probably moderate Democrats. And yet they're doing things that are not only not even remotely conservative, they're anti-conservative, like engaging in wokeness, racist type DEI stuff. So how did you start this? How did it get going? And tell us about some of these companies you got action from.
Yeah, so this all started with Tractor Supply. Because I shop at Tractor Supply, and when I had a whistleblower come to me and explain to me just how far gone the company was in terms of the culture and them adopting DEI and woke policies, I honestly didn't believe it at first, because it's like that store is sort of an American staple. I mean, you go in there, it feels like it votes Republican, okay? I mean, like that's just the vibe in there. And meanwhile, they were doing all this crazy stuff under the hood that people had no clue about. So I said, you know what? If this is happening at Tractor Supply, I bet this is happening at every company that depends on conservative consumers, and we're going to investigate it. And so we did. We started investigating all of these companies that, you know, really are symbols of America in many ways. Like, you got your Harley Davidson, John Deere, Coors, Lowe's, Ford, Caterpillar, and we went through the line here one by one, which was very important. They're always stronger if you attack a group versus going at them one by one. So one by one, we gave them, you know, sort of time in the sunshine, and we highlighted all their crazy policies, you know, from the trans flags in their distribution centers to funding, you know, pride events in red states and funding programs that will bring forward. We're going to put one out tomorrow, actually, that exposes a major corporation that was funding a summer camp, a sleepover camp for trans youth. Okay. We don't want to spend our money on these things. That's the bottom line. You can get into the morality of it, which is a whole other subject from like a religious perspective, but just on a very simple, you know, surfacey level, we do not want to fund these things because we are deeply opposed to them on many different levels. And for these companies to engage in them is just explicitly wrong. So we exposed them in these videos and we received an insane number of views all over the place. And mainstream media, to my shock and surprise, covered things pretty fairly. And as a result, these companies are terrified of being the next company. And so companies started to just drop their woke policies. And we got them into this routine of releasing statements where, like, they put out a statement of all the things they're going to change. And one of the big ones has been we've gotten these companies to back off of the HRC CEI scoring system, which many people are unfamiliar with. The HRC stands for Human Rights Campaign, which is like one of those Orwellian names that doesn't actually mean what it says.
Right. It's like the anti-human rights campaign.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And so their scoring system is a big reason a lot of the woke policies got into major corporations, because it incentivized companies to go and do these things. And what's interesting is, like, they had this false psychological, you know, scheme set up where really these companies were afraid of a toothless tiger, okay? Like, they really had no teeth behind this, no sizable number of people, and that's been super apparent by the success of our campaign, because the HRCs tried to combat what we're saying to no avail, because they don't have real support. If you look at their social media, they even turn the comments off now, because if they don't, it's filled with my supporters and people who are on our side, you know, pointing out the sort of ridiculousness of companies giving millions of dollars to the HRC, because we're talking about the HRC is receiving millions upon millions of dollars from some of the biggest corporations in the world and in our country. And their president is out there just 2 weeks ago saying Trump hates America. Okay. They're out there framing Republicans as an existential threat to this country. They're an explicitly political activist group. There is no excuse for major corporations giving them a dime, showing up at their galas, or supporting them in any way. And so I think that that's one of the big things we're getting here, is companies dropping out of that and saying, you know what, okay, maybe it's actually a better business decision for us to stay neutral.
That's all we ask, though. We're talking to Robbie Starbuck. Give him a follow on X, and you'll see what he's up to. He's doing tremendous work. I'm kind of in that camp, Robbie. For me to patronize your company and become a loyal customer, I don't need you to have a Trump sign in front of your business. I'd like it, but it's not a prerequisite. I just ask that if you were going to come to me as, say, Tractor Supply or Coors and one of these other companies and say, hey, we're all about Americana, it's in our ads, we love this country, and we would like you conservatives, Republicans, Libertarians, MAGA folks as customers, we're just asking a simple thing, and tell me if you agree. Just don't give my money to organizations that hate me and call me a fascist. Like, it's not a heavy lift, man, you know?
Well, I think that's actually why we've been so successful, is that I'm not going at it from the angle that the left does, which is demanding essentially that you indoctrinate your employees and customers with one viewpoint and one viewpoint only. You know, that's the funny thing, is I've been called a fascist by these people. And I'm like, you know what seems kind of fascist-y is wanting to shove your ideology down everybody else's throat and thinking you have a right to that. But yeah, no, I think why we've been successful is because we're going to these executives, and I've had off the record conversations with a large number of them. And our pitch is very simple. We believe in neutrality because your place, your customers deserve fairness. And fairness means you recognize that your customers come from all walks of life. Okay. And fairness essentially means stay out of any hot button social or political issue. You want to go and advocate and lobby for a law that directly affects your business, that's fine. But then going and lobbying for things like the Equality Act, which, again, Orwellian name, the left loves to misname these things into things so that they can say, oh, these Republicans voted against the Equality Act, because that sounds bad. But in reality, the Equality Act actually stands for allowing men into the bathroom with your little girls. Right. It means allowing men to compete in sports against women and girls. You know, companies have no place and purpose being involved in something like the Equality Act. And they bought this idea from the left that it actually won them some virtue signaling points by going and backing these things. But the reason that used to work for them is because the right didn't have similar activists that were ready to really punish those companies for taking part in it. So it was a safe thing back then for them to do. Well, now there's a new paradigm because these companies now have to consider if we're going to go after them and expose what they're doing to millions of people. Because at the end of the day, you know, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, the HRC, they're not walking into Tractor Supply to buy farm supplies. They're not walking into John Deere to get a tractor. They're not walking into Harley Davidson to get a bike. We are. And so we need to fundamentally flip the reality cognitively back to the customer is king again. Because they lost that. They started to believe BlackRock, the HRC, and the Democrats are king, when in reality, those people are not going and shopping at your stores very often. So you need to please your core customer base, or at the very least, stay neutral. And that's all we ask. Just stay neutral.
We're talking to Robbie Starbuck, R-O-B-B-Y, Starbuck, S-T-A-R-B-U-C-K. Give him a follow, please, on social media. He's doing amazing work. Support him. Robbie, Harley Davidson really shocked me. Tractor Supply shocked me, too. And I know you got some results there. And if we get results, we want to make sure that, you know, we acknowledge that as well. But Harley Davidson really shocked me. I mean, you want to talk about a company. I'm not sure there's a Democrat in the country, or at least a far left Democrat, that's a, you know, loyal generational, you know, customer outside of buying some collector bike once in a while to Harley Davidson. I mean, their customer base is probably 80%+ conservative America interested in the things that make America great. That one stunned me. What happened when you made that public? Did you get results on that particular company?
So Harley was a very important one for us. What's funny is a lot of people focus in on Harley, but it's actually the smallest company by market cap that we've shifted policy at. And some companies, people don't realize how big they are. Like Caterpillar has 113,000 employees, 170-something billion-dollar market cap. But in Harley's case, it was psychologically very critical for a number of reasons. Number one, it was our third one in a row that we flipped policy at. But more importantly, the CEO was our first true believer. And the only thing really left at Harley, in my mind, that has not been changed at this point is the CEO really should go. And I don't say that lightly because I don't say that about every company we expose, because in many cases, a lot of the CEOs are even looking for an excuse to get out from under these things. And they inherited them, or they were kind of forced on them for a number of different reasons that existed within the shareholder proposal schemes and things like that. So we look at it very clearly. And in his case, he is an actual true believer. He co-founded something called the B Team with Sir Richard Branson. And I hate calling him Sir, but technically that's the term. And the B Team, their explicit purpose is to replace existing leaders in corporate America and in corporations across the world and replace them with woke ones. They want to, quote, reimagine capitalism, and they want to push in their sustainability, quote unquote. Sustainability is just a buzzword to describe all the crazy policies on the left. And the CEO of Harley actually described himself as the Taliban of sustainability. Okay. So beyond all the woke LGBTQ stuff they were engaged in and the crazy trainings and the recommendations of reading books like White Fragility, you know, you have to look at his statement there and take him at his word, Taliban of sustainability. To me, that means you are a terrorist who is willing to do anything for your cause, and your cause is, quote, sustainability, which is essentially woke policy. That's the reality in corporate America across many different companies, where executives have been replaced with ideologues like that who believe not in the company, not in capitalism, not in making money, but they believe in injecting their politics into the lifeblood of the corporation so that they can poison the American system.
And just to be clear, Robbie, he's still the CEO. I've seen the videos on your Twitter account, by the way. He's still the CEO.
So Harley dropped all the crazy policies reluctantly. You know, it took a while because they wanted to dig in. Okay. It took 3 weeks to get them to flip policy. But I think the embarrassment at Sturgis is what really did it, because Sturgis came up, biggest biker, you know, event in the country. And it was such an embarrassment for Harley. So few people went to their booth that they actually, Bloomberg reported, they packed up 2 days early and had to leave because it was such an embarrassment. But so we forced the changes, right, to get rid of the woke stuff, but the CEO's still there. So in my mind, you know, like I try to be clear that I believe in rebuilding, not destruction. So we're about restoration and forgiveness. So like in the case of Tractor Supply, I will go to Tractor Supply now. They did the right thing. They did it very clearly. They did it, you know, and I've heard from our whistleblowers very honestly. But in the case of Harley Davidson, I could not in good conscience spend any money with them because that CEO is still there. That's my view on it. He had a goal for the company, too, of turning all bikes electric by 2030. That's a man who I believe is not going to stop. And, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time until he tries to reinstitute some of these policies.
Robbie Starbuck, man, I got to tell you, you are probably right now one of the top 10 most influential conservatives in America. If people are following you on Twitter, you know I'm not kidding. I mean, we have been turning the corner on wokeness thanks to guys like you willing to take on these fights. And they can be annoying. I know. These aren't easy things to do, to be constantly, you know, on these companies' backs. Robbie, listen, thanks for your time. You're welcome back here anytime. Folks, give him a follow on X, at Robbie Starbuck. Give him a follow as soon as you can. Retweet these messages, because if they're not seen by the public, we're not going to affect any change. Robbie, thanks again for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother, and thanks for everything you're doing to get Trump elected again.
Oh, yeah, man, you got it. Absolutely. It's my job, man. That's what I do. Yeah, he's great, folks. You would be stunned. Again, it's not like these companies were like Ben & Jerry's. All right, whatever. Ben & Jerry's a lefty company. It's going to go do Bernie Sanders stuff. You know, these are Harley Davidson? Really? Really? Go check out his Twitter feed. You'll see a whole lot more. You'll be really surprised. One of your favorite guests coming up next, Dinesh D'Souza, but let's get to our next sponsor. Hey, it's time for tailgating season, of course, cookouts. With a lot more grilling left in the season, the experts at Omaha Steaks are inviting you to savor summer with 50% off site-wide during their Labor Day sale. Plus, you get an extra $20 off with my promo code Bongino. It's my favorite food. Been a customer for a long time of Omaha Steaks because it's just delicious. Omaha Steaks brings you endless flavor, endless variety, and endless value with premium proteins sure to satisfy. And it doesn't stop there. You'll enjoy big savings on premium pork and chicken, scrumptious sides, and, of course, decadent desserts to sweeten the deals. My favorite food at night. Cook it all the time. Whether you're having a cookout or getting fired up for tailgating, savor summer with 50% off site-wide during the Omaha Steaks Labor Day sale. Shop today at omahasteaks.com and get an extra $20 off when you use promo code Bongino, B-O-N-G-I-N-O, at checkout. Plus, every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Minimum purchase may apply. Visit omahasteaks.com for details. We talked with my good friend Dinesh D'Souza about his new movie called Vindicating Trump. VindicatingTrump.com is a website and the latest on what's going on in Kamala's campaign. Check this out. Welcoming back to the show, our good friend Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, welcome back to the show.
Dan, great to be on with you. Thank you.
You got it. Sorry about that little delay. I want to get to your movie. You actually get two good teases for the movie because we gave out the website in the beginning. You have a new movie coming out, Vindicating Trump. I've seen the trailer. Tickets are available at VindicatingTrump.com. The trailer's amazing. I want to get to that. I just want to ask you some news of the day stuff because you're a really fantastic conservative commentator in addition to being a great filmmaker. This Secret Service abomination, these failures, Dinesh, which are obvious to people like you and me, one with security experience, one who's just, you know, not at all, but just a smart guy. This is only acceptable stuff in the government. If you had a football team that was 0-16 twice over two seasons, like they failed the Secret Service twice in 2 months, everybody be fired. An entire new coaching staff and team would be brought in. With the Secret Service, Dinesh, every person in the PI, protective operations chain, got a promotion out of this. This only happens in government.
You know, Dan, it's even by the standards of the government, it's a disaster. I mean, it's worse than the DMV. It's worse than the Immigration Department, because there's a certain amount of government incompetence I think we take for granted. Whether it's in the, you know, whether it's in the Air Force or whether it's in welfare programs, whatever government does, it tends to do badly. Some degree of incompetence, let's say, for example, the, you know, DEI hires at the Secret Service who don't quite know how to get the gun in the holster, that kind of thing I can understand. What I don't understand is when you tell the authorities as a guy on the roof in, you know, in fatigues with a backpack and a gun, and Trump is not immediately yanked off the stage, that makes no sense. Or how this guy could get so close. He's a couple of holes away from the president. He's patrolling Mar-a-Lago for apparently hours and hours. So it goes so much beyond incompetence that you almost begin to wonder, is there a bigger story here? Are they allowing these things to happen? I think those questions, I don't want to press them too far without knowing more, but they inevitably jump to your mind.
Yeah, I mean, to reasonable people asking Occam's razor-like questions, you know, Occam's razor, keep it simple, stupid, you know, parsimony matters when it comes to an answer. Always take the answer, Dinesh, that requires the fewest amount of assumptions. I mean, people like you and I are like, it's kind of weird, right? Two attackers show up in 2 months and one's still going through the criminal process, but the other one dead, and they both seem to know the exact vulnerability point. I mean, of course, people are asking that. You have this movie coming out, Vindicating Trump. Again, tickets available now, vindicatingtrump.com. Let's make it a huge success. But the interesting thing, Dinesh, is you kind of get into the assassination attempts and how they fit into the bigger picture, but we actually are running spots for your movie because I love your content. I had to update the spot myself because since the movie, I had to make it assassination attempts. Like, this has happened again. Tell us what the movie's about, why you decided to do it, and how important it is for people to get out and make the right choice this election.
The movie makes a no-holds-barred defense of Trump, not just the policies, but also the man. I mean, Trump is maybe the most divisive figure of our time. You'd have to go back to Lincoln to a man who inspires such opposite reactions where, you know, one group of people will take a bullet for him and the other group of people cheer when somebody tries to kill him. But even with Lincoln, the division was kind of over the issue. It was over slavery. Whereas with Trump, it's over Trump the man. And you know there are Republicans who will say things like, well, I don't really like him, but, you know, I like his policies. Or they say about Trump, well, you know, I just wish he'd keep his mouth shut. So it's almost like there's an effort to create a new and different Trump. They want to rehabilitate Trump. And the point I want to make is that, no, in this time of our history, given the crisis that we're facing now, we don't need to remake Trump. We need Trump as is. Trump is a man of some weaknesses, but extraordinary strengths, notably the strength of courage and bravery, which he has shown not just in the two assassination attempts, but also the way in which he has withstood and even defeated these 91 criminal charges. Any other Republican, I think we both know, would have long fled from the race with 3 criminal charges. So this is an extraordinary man. And part of what I'm trying to do is to say, instead of trying to remake Trump, let's remake our understanding of Trump.
I know Donald Trump, I saw the video, is personally endorsed the movie. Folks, it's on my X account. If you want to go check it out, I retweeted it. Check out the trailer. The film's called Vindicating Trump. Tickets available at vindicatingtrump.com. Pretty easy. Please pick up your tickets, especially before the election. Make sure your friends watch it, too. Dinesh, can I get to the why here? You're really good. Is this how I first found you 15 years ago? You're just a really good explainer of the why, not just the how things happen with the left. But why is Donald Trump becoming such a unique threat? I mean, with Reagan, it was, you're right, it was a he's senile. All of a sudden, with George W. Bush, he's a warmonger. And whether you liked him or hate him, we agree there was a lot of division, no doubt. But it never seemed as personal here. Well, you're right. A guy shot Donald Trump in the head, and a lot of liberals on Twitter, not just a few, are like, oh, man, I wish he would have hit him. I mean, you had this Vindman character's wife in Virginia make a joke, no ears were harmed or whatever. I mean, this is really sick, demonic stuff. But get to the core of why. Why? What is it about this guy? My theory, quick, is he's such a unique threat to the swamp and the sinecures and all the promised positions because he doesn't need their PR, he doesn't need TV hits, and he doesn't need their money, that this guy really has to go or the entire thing could collapse. Am I crazy? Is that part of it? Is there a bigger picture?
Well, here's how I put it to Trump himself, and his reaction is very fascinating in the movie. And I said, listen, I go, before I came to America, my main exposure to America was Westerns. You know, what happens in a Western? You've got a very beautiful town at Shinbone or Pleasantville. Everything's going great. There's kind of an old sheriff and there's a saloon and there's a provision store. But then some ruthless gangsters come in and shoot up the town, intimidate the sheriff, take over the saloon. So it's like Shinbone is not the same. That's America right now. And then over the mountain from the outside comes an outsider. That's Trump. not a lot is known about the guy, but the gangsters know right away that he's the threat. He's the guy they have to deal with, and so all their energy is now aimed at taking him out, getting rid of him. And interestingly, the people of the town are not sure about the guy, because there are some people who go, we don't know much about him. Is he really on our side? And so on. I think this is why at the end of a Western, the hero always, after the great shootout, rides off. He leaves. He goes away. Why? Because he's made Shinbone great again. And also, the other thing is, he could be a gangster himself. He's just defeated the gangsters, but he wants to show that he is for the people. So I think that this framework is kind of a good way to understand Trump. It even explains why the old GOP is like envious of him. They don't like him. It's the way that the old establishment in the town doesn't like the outsider. They don't like the John Wayne, the Clint Eastwood figure. So to me, Trump is dangerous to them because they're an 800-pound gorilla, but so is he.
Man, I'm glad we got this interview to happen because you really spurred something in me here. The movie that we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza, movie comes out September 27th. Am I right, Dinesh? September 27th?
Yes, next weekend. And as you know, Dan, you know, opening weekend is critical for a movie. So if you go opening weekend, if you can, and take your friends and family.
Please, if they get your tickets at VindicatingTrump.com, VindicatingTrump.com. You reminded me of, not to inject comedy into this, but in this case, it's relevant. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's a pretty famous SNL skit by Dave Chappelle, and it's about Donald Trump. And Chappelle talks about how he lives in this small town in Ohio, and he jokes about living around a lot of white people. And he said, don't dismiss Donald Trump. The skit's years old. But he said, you guys don't understand what's going on here. And he makes the point at the end about how Donald Trump hit Hillary Clinton in the debate about the tax code. And he said, you'll never reform the tax code because you and your friends benefit from it. So Hillary Clinton hit back something like, well, how do you know? And Donald Trump said, because I take advantage of it, too. And he basically acknowledged what you just said. Like, he could be the outsider who comes in the spaghetti Western to save the town, only knows the evil of the demons because he's been sadly immersed among the demons for a really long time. And skits like the skit at the end, Chappelle says, and that day, he said, a star was born when Trump said that. Because your friends benefited from it. Nobody knows the system better than him.
You know, Dan, just to give you one more image to cement this point, think of the famous iconic scene. Of course, we have it in the movie of Trump coming down the escalator, right, at Trump Tower. It's almost like the top of the escalator is the elites. That's where you know, Trump was with Oprah and Trump was with Ellen and Charlie Rose and all the cool cats. But when he went down, he descended away from all that, a fateful decision, sort of like he's joining the people down there. And he's now saying, I'm going to take up your cause against these elites. So now you can see in a single image how the people rally to Trump because they know he didn't have to do it. He's got a great life. He's got tons of money. He doesn't have to take all this, but he does it for them. And you can also see why the elites who are at the top of the escalator are fuming and enraged because Trump is like a traitor to his class. He was one of them. He essentially turned against them. He joined with like the pitchfork people. And now he's taking on the establishment. That was the fateful moment. And I think Trump knew it, in which his whole life was never going to be the same. And it hasn't been.
Dinesh, exit question here. So the movie again, folks, Vindicating Trump. Comes out September 27th, VindicatingTrump.com is where you can get your tickets. Talking to Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, I talk to a lot of good, solid conservative friends, but we have a small kind of cadre of people that come back on the show. We don't have a big guest portfolio. It's for a reason. I can pretty much predict what every guest is going to say outside of you guys. That's why I like having you on the show. Are you confident in this election that we can win by a large enough buffer that we can overcome what inevitably is going to be an effort at cheating? We've already seen that the Democrats don't want the SAVE Act out there because they want a legal vote. I mean, that's the only reason. Are you comfortable we can do that?
I think we can. We've discovered, and this is in the film, a new vulnerability in our election system that has not been focused on. We have a section in the film called The Ballot Makers. And Dan, it's absolutely crazy. It turns out that one can buy and make ballots. You know, we think we've got to get the ballots from the state. So we, but the reason I expose this stuff in the movie is the idea is that you, by exposing it, you blow the cover, you make it impossible to do it. Just like you can't send mules to drop boxes now in the middle of the night because there are patriots looking for it. So what we're trying to do here is expose these election fraud schemes because the Democrats figure out new ways to cheat. And by anticipating it and exposing it, it's going to be more hard for them to do it.
Wow. That's, folks, that's reason enough to watch them. I know Mike's shaking his head right now. He can't believe that. That's interesting. Folks, check it out. Go today, VindicatingTrump.com, VindicatingTrump.com. Pick up tickets for Dinesh D'Souza's. They're going to be it's going to do huge numbers, I'm sure of it. Dinesh, I've seen the trailer. It's amazing. Thanks a lot for keeping your eyes on this. Really appreciate you coming on today. Sorry about the delay before, but that worked out great. Thanks a lot, buddy.
No worries. Thank you, Dan.
Dinesh D'Souza's media company, they have a new movie out, Vindicating Trump. It exposes the reasons the left and the Democrats hate Donald Trump so much. You got to check this movie out. You see the trailer? It's amazing. Film shows you they call him a tyrannical dictator because they know Trump's the only one that can stop him, so they got to stop him first. See Vindicating Trump and learn how Trump's not only a successful businessman who rebuilt the New York skyline, but a cultural icon who can mobilize the people against the radical left and their anti-American agenda. And Vindicating Trump? See how Trump fought the authoritarian regime in Washington and got things done for the American people. The film highlights how they tried to bankrupt him with lawsuits and jail him with indictments. There was even multiple assassination attempts on his life, but Trump is unstoppable. Vindicating Trump, it reveals Trump is the one man who can stop the radical left from destroying what's unique and good about America. Check out the trailer. It's amazing. They need his leadership now more than ever. Don't miss Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, his unqualified defense of Trump. Get your tickets online at VindicatingTrump.com. That's VindicatingTrump.com. Check out the trailer, too. Get the tickets today at VindicatingTrump.com. So shocking, and I mean truly shocking, new numbers came out about the immigration crisis at our southern border, thanks to the failed efforts of Border Czar Kamala Harris. I went on a fiery rant about this. There is no way her campaign should continue after this. I want you to listen to this. Check this out. Holy Moses, man. I'm going to get back to what I was going to talk about in a second, but I got to get this out because Jim just said it. He said if what we just heard on Fox was broadcast across the left-wing communist media ecosystem, Donald Trump would win 42 states. No, I'm serious. It's that incredible of a story that I hope I'm not overselling this, Jim, that Jim and I are listening during the break to the news, and we're like, this can't possibly be true, like it's that bad. Okay, what is it? The ICE director, Immigration Customs Enforcement, you know, there are lefties listening, so we got to take it slow. The ICE director just released a bunch of statistics so outrageous that I'm processing it right now. So Kamala Harris, we know, is the border czar. We've played multiple videos of media people calling her the border czar, Joe Biden delegating the border to her. So we know that's a fact. That's a fact. Media morons, it's a fact. Shut your pie holes. We're not interested in your stupidity. Pie hole, shut it. Kamala's the border czar, period. Fact. End of story. Bill Malugin's on Fox during the break reporting that the ICE director released some numbers. There are 400,000, I didn't say the number wrong, illegal immigrants in the country not being detained. Let me repeat, not being detained, who are convicted criminals. You're like, wait, what? Wait, it gets, we're not done. We're not, Jim, are we done? No, we're not. 400,000 illegals in the country who are convicted criminals. I'm not talking about the crime of crossing the border. That's its own independent crime. Everybody who crosses illegally is a criminal by tautologically. I'm talking about other crimes. 400,000, which is like 10 times the population of the actual county I live in here. Here's another one. There are 15,000 illegal immigrants convicted of sexual crimes in the country right now. 15,000. Very rarely does a news report kick me in the nuts. I got a cup on all the times. I'm always worried. They kick me in the jerry because I'm downstairs. I'm making a little espresso. Need a little caffeine booster during the day. And I'm listening to this. I run upstairs. I'm like, hey, Jimbo, you hearing this crap? Wait. It gets worse. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Jim, does it get worse? Yes, it does. You rush it back to the mic to say, I can anticipate your answer. There are 13,000, not 13, 13,000 convicted murderer illegal immigrants in the country right now. No. Yes. Dan, where'd you get the conspiracy theory? Yeah, that came from the ICE director. Here, you turn on Fox right now. You think I'm messing with you? You can watch it and listen to this. Read the Chyron right now. Breaking news. ICE director. This is Joe Biden's immigration and customs enforcement guy. So liberal numbnutses, don't tell me conspiracy theory. If it is, it's emanating from the White House. 13,000 illegals in the country with murder convictions. Liberals, I know you're really stupid, but murder's kind of like when you like kill someone, you know, you're like bang, bang, or stab, stab. Like that's really, you ever see like Friday the 13th? Murder, you know, Michael Myers, Halloween, Freddy Krueger. You ever see that stuff? That's kind of like the murder thing. You know, you've seen it depicted on film many times. It's really bad because the whole thing about death is it's really final because once you're dead, you're really dead. Like there's no redoing the dead stuff. So the thing about murder is you can recover from an assault. You don't want people guilty of felony assault in the country, but you can recover from it. You get punched in the face, it's going to suck. Go to the hospital, put an ice pack on it. You'll generally be okay. Really sucks. You hope the guy gets arrested. There are really horrible crimes, too, that happen to people. They're awful. They leave mental scars, but you'll probably live. The thing with murder is what makes murder murder is you probably won't live because that's why it's murder, because you didn't live. So I know liberals are having a tough time with this. But this is the Kamala Harris border policy right here. She is the border czar, period. Shut your mouth, libs. Turn off the show. I can't stand you. I hate your lying. Stop BSing people. I'd be cursing right now if this was the podcast because I'm so furious about this. 13,000 convicted murderers crossed the border. 400,000 convicted criminals. 15,000 sex offenders. Good point, Jim. Those numbers, folks, don't even include the gotaways we don't know about. Jim, why are they called gotaways? Any idea? Because they got it away. Folks, in a normal world, which we do not live in a normal world, Kamala Harris would end their campaign today. And the media would demand it. No, they would. Kamala Harris would end her campaign today. Can you imagine running to be the commander in chief when you are the vice commander in chief, the vice president? You're getting ready to take the role. Okay, that's your job, is to be ready. That's your job. The vice president didn't do anything other than the president of the Senate, tie breaking votes, which always go the party's direction anyway. So it's largely just ceremonial. It is. I mean, she's not going to vote against the Democrat agenda. So she raises her hand once in a while. And Kamala Harris's job is to be ready to be commander in chief. That's her job as the vice president. Can you imagine being the commander in chief, i.e. job description? Jim, turn on your mic a second. It's Friday, so we should start like it. We can talk a little more. So he's like, what? No, I mean, when you're the commander in chief and you're putting together, you ever apply for a job and they ask for KSAs, knowledge, skills, and abilities? They'd be like, Jim, write why you're a good radio producer. You've done that, right, Jim?
Absolutely.
So would you think if you were applying to be, you know, like president of the United States, commander in chief, and head of the military, that one of the first things they would ask you is, what have you done to keep the United States safe? You think that would kind of be like a good thing?
I think it's a basic question.
A kind of a basic question. So, Jim, do you think if Kamala Harris answered that question honestly and the American people knew about her answer and she said, here's what I've done to keep America safe. I was in charge of the border for 3.5 years. 8 million people we know about got in, and probably another 5 million we didn't know about got in. 400,000 criminal convicts got into the country. 15,000 sex offenders, 13,000 murderers, thousands of tons of fentanyl. A bunch of kids were child sex trafficked. And there are at least internet rumors right now of surface to air missiles being secreted across our southern border. Do you think that if that got out, that questionnaire to the American people, they'd be like, you're hired, kid. Perfect for the job. What do you think?
In fairness, she came from a middle-class family.
This guy's a genius. I told him there's my guy. It's right, folks. That's the answer. That is the actual answer. Here's what she would say. She would say, first, let me just start here. Because that's how she always does that. That's how she resets the question. Let me start here. I grew up in a middle-class family. Actually, you did not. We've actually seen the video in your neighborhood. You ever see All in the Family in the beginning? I may be dating myself, but I lived in Glendale and they have the picture of the row homes. That's my neighborhood where I grew up, in case you don't know, if you ever saw Archie Bunker. If you took the same video shot rolling down Kamala Harris's street, I promise you it doesn't look like Glendale where I grew up. It is not a middle class family, but that is exactly how she, let me tell you a story. I worked at McDonald's, you know, two all beef patties, special sauce. Her and Stephanie Ruhle were singing this. All beef patties. They were actually singing it. I'm not kidding. You can actually look at it. They think this is hilarious. She did not work at McDonald's. I grew up in a middle-class family, and then I dated Montel Williams. You can watch the video, by the way. You might not like it. But why everybody laughs when I say it. It's like, I don't even know why this is funny. Like, she dated Montel Williams. I'm not imparting any character judgment. This is what her claim to fame before politics is, she dated Montel Williams. If you're like, who's Montel Williams? Exactly. 99% of the world is saying that too, if you didn't grow up with me and Jim did. Okay. She dated Montel Williams. She is then at least we know had a personal relationship with Willie Brown. I'm not saying anymore because I don't know and I don't care to get into, I don't really care. Whatever. We know she had a relationship with Willie Brown, who was a big player in California politics. We then know they cleared the way for her to be San Francisco DA and Attorney General for California, and then cleared her path again to be a U.S. Senator. Then we know she was a DEI pick for vice presidency. Oh my gosh, you can't say that. I didn't say it. Joe Biden did. And if you guys love DEI and it's such a good thing, I don't understand why you're embarrassed. Jim and I did not say, I am going to pick a female black vice president. There's nothing wrong with picking someone who's female and black. Here's what's wrong. Picking someone exclusively based on being female and black. Joe Biden said it. I didn't say it. Why are you embarrassed? Don't you love how the left-wing media comes after us? Me and Jim, I can't believe you said that, Dan. Oh my God, you are definitely, you're like Hitler. You're like a Nazi. I didn't say squat. He said it. You can go watch the video.
But you made the best point. If it's such a bad thing, why are they upset we say it?
Right, Jim, your mic is on, right? So, you know, I'm not just hearing, I'm with you. This is the perfect Michael Anton, that's not happening, but it's great that it is. The Democrats will yell at you and I, even some conservatives will yell and go, stop saying she was a DEI pick, as if it's not happening. But then the Democrats will be arguing in academia, the corporate world and the sports world, that DEI is a great thing. So I don't understand, like, why are you mad at me and Jim for simply telling you what Joe Biden already said? He clearly stated that his triaging, his goals for a vice president, little triage, his number one goal were DEI goals, gender and race. He said it. I didn't say it. I don't know Kamala Harris. She could have been the greatest VP pick ever. I have no idea. I never met her in my life. I'd seen her publicly. She's a train wreck. It's not my fault. I love when the media people come after you as if we're making this up. And I can't just show you the video of Joe Biden saying it. Folks, this is what happens when you pick people eminently not qualified for the job. Joe Biden made her the border czar. Breaking just now. It's Chiron on Fox right now. The ICE director. Not some right winger. It's not, you know, Jim's Aunt May calling in the show. The ICE director under Biden has just come out with a absolutely, here's another one. 15,000 migrants convicted of sex crimes roaming free in the United States. In any sane world, Kamala Harris would end the campaign today. You realize she's down at the border kicking you in the balls right now. She is traveling to Arizona today to celebrate her victory at the border while a shocking report that just came out is being released. Folks, if you weren't listening to me right now, and not that I would ever trust the communist media people, if you have a shred of human dignity in your DNA from the 5 to 3 prime end, right? Just a shred of it. Just a shred of it. You will not walk away until you get an answer on this question while she's at the border today. VP Harris, you were in charge of root causes, whatever crap euphemism you want to use for borders are. Were one of the root causes keeping 400,000 convicted criminals, 15,000 sex offenders, and 13,000 murderers out of the United States? Because the ICE director's reporting this today.
Let me tell you, I was raised in next to a McDonald's in a middle-class community, and sometimes people would come in and ask for the senior coffee, and sometimes I would buy the senior some coffee, and then a kid came in, and he asked for a small fry, and I snuck in a little extra in the bag because Five Guys was doing it. I just asked you about 15,000 sex offenders in the United States. Let me tell you, I actually was there so generous. I used to put extra ketchup in the bag if they offered a Whopper. I'm sorry, Big Mac. I worked at McDonald's, like I said.
Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast. Please join us every day at 11 a.m. You can do it by downloading the free Rumble app. Or you can just go to rumble.com/Bongino if you want to watch on desktop. You can also watch anytime on demand. The episodes are available at your viewing pleasure. Thanks for tuning in. See you on Monday.
You just heard Dan Bongino.